Dear learner, I welcome all of you to this to NIS studio, and you will be happy to know that today we have with us Dr. Subhashish Sahu, and he has a good experience of working in teaching sociology there. I welcome Dr. Subhashish Sahu to our studio. Dear learners, you know in earlier discussion we had discussed what is individuals, what is society and community. So earlier we have also discussed while we are in the community we had interaction with each other. Sometimes your day work cooperate, your family members cooperate in some activity, but at some time you are also in conflict with other individuals. Either they are living in your family or in your society or in your neighborhood. So in day-to-day life we had interaction with the people, those who are living nearby with us. So today we'll discuss about cooperation, competition and conflict. And I hope you'll be able to got a good exposure here. So before we go further, sir, can you discuss with our learner what is social interaction?
Okay. First of all, thank you, Sukant, for this opportunity. So let's start from the concept of interaction itself. Individual performs many social activities depends on his nature, needs and roles. For example, an individual can be a husband, can be a father and can be the head of his own family as well as a leader of the community or his community at the same time. As a husband and a father, he lives with other members of the family. As a customer, he bargains with a shopkeeper in the market. As the head of the family or the leader of his community, he provides the leadership when the interest of his family or the community clash with those of other community or with those of other family. While performing these social activities, that particular individual or he, or we can say that, you know, while performing these social activities, the individual comes into contact with many people and communicates with one another through language and gestures, and also influences one another. This situation gives rise to a process known as interaction. As this interaction takes place in a social environment, it can be called as social interaction. So social interaction is the very basis of social life. Without social interaction, no group activity could take place. Both society and culture themselves are the products of social interaction. Even the conduct of day-to-day life will be impossible without social interaction. All our social institutions such as family, religion, community, government, business, labor unions, even the associations are built upon the foundations of social interaction. Simply, one can say that no social interaction, no social life. In other words, or we put it in simpler way, that without social interaction, there would be no social life.
Yeah, thank you. Similarly, I think social processes are also connected to social interaction. So
exactly.
Before we go further, yeah. I'll request you to discuss with our learner what is social processes.
Yeah, Sukant, before we move on to social process, it would be better to have a look at what exactly leads to social process. Okay, so as we discussed few minutes ago, that social interaction is nothing but that while performing many activities, individuals come into contact with each other, interact, and they interact through different actually gestures, languages. It actually, social interaction takes several forms. Some bring people together and initiate them to work together. Take the example of the ongoing IPL cricket matches, where you see the wicketkeeper and all the 11 players of any particular team, they work together to achieve one and the only one goal, that is the victory. The wicketkeeper, the batsman, the bowler and the captain of each team, they work together, they contribute for the winning of the match. Sometimes what happens, you know, if batsmen fail, the bowlers do the job, and when bowlers fail, batsmen do the job. So there are, you know, this is one form where actually it brings the integration, it brings the coordination. There is another group which divides the groups or individuals. For example, shopkeepers compete with one another for business. Two firms engaged in competitive endeavor to win the market by selling the same product under the possible conditions. Some ruthless businessmen would like to eliminate their competitive partner. Sometimes competition leads to compromise, and we see that even the clash of interest gives rise to conflict. These various forms, okay, whether the integrative form or the disintegrative form, these both the forms coexist in society, and these are social processes. So social processes can be defined as the repetitive interaction patterns of behavior which are commonly found in social life. One aspect of social processes is associative, or it can be called conjunctive, or it can be called jointness, or it can be called the togetherness, which includes cooperation, accommodation, adjustment, adaptation, integration and assimilation. The other aspect of social processes is dissociative, is very much disintegrative, very much disjunctive, which includes competition, conflict and contradiction. Social processes are continuous processes, if we see, and these processes are very fundamental processes. These processes, they set up different meaning on our society, different meaning on our world where actually we do live. So why are we reading social processes? Because so these different social processes, these will help the learners to understand about the society or about the world, how does the society or how does the world work or should work.
Yeah, thank you. Our learners, you might have got a good understanding of what are the associative social processes and what are the dissociative social processes.
Yeah.
So before we go further, maybe our learners would like to know what is cooperation.
Look, as we discussed associative social process and dissociative social process, cooperation is the most elementary form of social process as well as the most elementary form of social life. It is something, you know, associative in nature. So cooperation is nothing but that, you know, individuals, they interact among themselves and work together for a common objective or for a common goal. It means working together in the pursuit of like or common interest. What happens in this process of cooperation that individuals try to adjust among themselves. The mutual attraction of man and woman and the spirit of cooperation is at the root of human creation. Even we can take some more examples, like on college campuses, dear learners, they might have seen that in college campuses, cooperation is the fundamental element or is the key element to organize various functions or various activities. It shows that cooperation involves the division of workload and the coordination. We can apply the example of cooperation in agricultural field, where we see the agricultural production rises on the basis of cooperation. Business can succeed on the basis of cooperation among the employees. Sociologists have studied the working of cooperation at several organizations. Many organizations, they offer special training or sponsor social events to promote cooperation. If we put it in simple way, we find that without human cooperation, it would be difficult for human life to survive. Even in the animal world, learners can see ants, bees, termites or mammals, they also depend upon cooperation. For them, cooperation is evident for survival. I hope this would help the learners to understand the idea of cooperation.
Yeah, thank you. So our learners also might be expecting cooperation from us, and they're also getting, and when they're also going for examinations, so they might have interaction with their peer group, so that they also get some cooperation from there, so that they can perform very well in the examination also. So our learners might have read there are two types of cooperation, one is direct cooperation and another is indirect cooperation.
Yeah.
So please explain it further for us.
As Sukant said that cooperation takes in the form of direct and indirect. Even cooperation also takes in the form of primary and secondary. So let's discuss about direct cooperation. Direct cooperation is when individuals perform common or similar activities collectively for a common goal. For example, when you see a group of farmers plowing in the same agricultural field for a particular crop, when a group of person worshipping together in any religious place or in any temple, church or mosque, even you see a bunch of children playing together, pushing bullock cart out of mud. These are the examples of direct cooperation. Coming to the indirect cooperation, where individuals work towards a common goal, but each has its own specializations. For example, to construct the building, you need separate individuals, because separate individuals, they have specialized function. For example, engineers, architects, contractors, masons, carpenters, laborers, everybody is needed to construct a building. This kind of cooperation or the indirect cooperation is based on the underlying principle of division of tasks. You divide different tasks and give it to different individuals, but they perform separately and contribute towards a particular goal. Coming to the primary cooperation and secondary cooperation, we see that primary cooperation is found in primary groups. As learners know, primary groups is family is an example of primary group, neighborhood is an example of primary group, small tribal community is also an example of primary group. What happens in primary cooperation, that here the interaction is very face-to-face, they know each other, they have personal contact. And the basis of this type of cooperation is affection, love, duties, responsibilities, and mutual obligations.
Yeah.
Secondary cooperation. Yeah.
So before we go going further for primary cooperation, my learners might be expected from example from you how family as a unit and how the cooperation exists from there. Okay. Maybe nowadays marriage, marriage is going on, and so we can have a good example from marriage when the marriage is being performed. How the different family members contribute in some way for the successful conduct of marriage.
Exactly.
Like suppose if there is a girl, then all the family members go together and they search for
the bride
partner. And they also contribute in some other way to make it successful that way. Yes. Then we can proceed to secondary cooperation.
Secondary cooperation, this is the typical feature of our modern society. We generally depend upon secondary cooperation. What happens in secondary cooperation? Here, we don't know each other. We don't have personal contact. Still, we cooperate with each other. This kind of cooperation is seen or is found in economic organization, political organization, administrative, religious, management organization. What happens in secondary cooperation? Here, the cooperation is based on a definite objective and collective interest. And this kind of cooperation is highly formalized and specialized. For example, I can give you an interesting example. As the learners know, that in any company, there is something called management, administration, production, distribution, and other unit. Let's discuss about a textile company where these units, they work together for achieving a particular target, and also they make profit. Here, how actually they cooperate with each other? That there is a cooperation which is found among a large number of workers, employers, officers, engineers, managers and directors of that particular textile company. And they help the organization in meeting their annual budget and the meeting their annual target, as well as they also try to achieve a particular profit. So what we find, the basic difference between primary and secondary cooperation is that primary cooperation is confined to family group or neighbor group or the tribal community. But here, the secondary cooperation, though we don't have any personal contact, still actually we work to achieve a particular goal.
I think we have discussed a lot about cooperation and types of cooperation also. So our learners might have a good understanding about what is direct cooperation and what is indirect cooperation, what is
primary and secondary cooperation.
Now we should discuss about what is competition.
Yeah.
Yes.
Competition look like cooperation. Cooperation plays some sort of integrative role. There are certain social processes which play the reverse of the cooperation, and competition is one of them. Competition, like cooperation, it is a social process, and it is quite universal and natural. It is found not only in human societies but also in animal societies. Animal world, you can find animal worlds that animals, they compete for food, they compete for water, they compete for their own security. So we see that the competition goes on among human beings constantly, with the desire to fulfill their needs, lack of commodities, and the feeling of insecurity. And competition is a particular kind of force, or we can call it a social force, which compels individuals to act against one another. Competition can be characterized by non-cooperation. Here you don't find the element of cooperation. Competition can be defined as a non-violent opposition-oriented process in which two or more individuals or groups try to leave each other behind in order to achieve certain goals or certain objectives. Generally, in competition, the competitors, they don't know each other, and competition is a situation where two individuals want to achieve the same or the common goal, but competition creates a situation where one of the individuals can achieve that goal, not the two individuals. So we see that competition sets a win or lose kind of situation, or in competition you find winner or the losers. There are many examples of competition, but the interesting examples of competitions are war, team sports, team games, racing competition. Learners can find there is something common between these examples, that in any racing or in any game, you know, each game has two sides or two competitors, and each game has one goal or has one prize, and it creates a situation in which only one of the sides or only one of the competitors can win.
Actually, maybe when you are thinking that competition between animals and competition human beings, maybe the difference is that there the competition is for struggle for existence, mm-hmm. while it may be struggle for existence and also for the there is upliftment of rational things, or mm-hmm. you want to excel in some things. Mm-hmm. For that, you have also the competition mm-hmm. that can be.
Yeah, a competition, as you said, competition is a natural result for the struggle for existence. Besides, you know, this struggle for existence goes not only in human societies but also in animal societies. Besides, competition provides a situation where the fittest can survive. So this is based on, if you look at the role of competition in social life or in our lives, that here we all the time, you know, want to fight or compete or struggle with each other to survive. Whosoever actually fittest, you know, he or she survives. What we see that competition sometimes, you know, helps to determine the status of one individual. Competition helps to determine your skill. Competition helps to recognize the abilities, capacities. Competition also brings reward, recognition for you.
Yes. And like cooperation, competition also two types, personal yes. competition and impersonal competition.
Yeah, yeah.
And how it is different to each other?
In personal competition, what happens that there is a contest, or there is a, you know, fight between two persons, and one of them become successful in achieving the desired goal. That kind of situation is called personal competition. But in impersonal competition, the competition takes place between two groups, any kind of groups. That group can be family, two families, or more than two families, you know, two castes, two religions, two nations, two race. There, individuals are not important. Rather, group interest, group feeling are interest. So this is called impersonal competition.
Yes. We can also take some examples from our
impersonal competition.
Yes.
If you look at the television, okay, there are many advertisements regarding the marketing of different detergent companies. When two detergent companies, they compete with each other for the same product, what they do, they talk about, they compete, actually there is a competition between two companies instead of two individuals.
Yes.
So this is impersonal competition, where the company's interest plays important role rather than the individual who is responsible for marketizing that particular product.
Yeah, but we should take an example from open schooling system. Yeah, when our students are competing with each other in public examination, what type of a competition is it?
Yeah, even the modern examination system, Sukant, actually this is purely based on competition. In the modern examination system, what happens actually, modern examination system is based on certain kind of rules and regulations.
Yes.
And from that point of view, competition creates, competition is based on rules and regulation, and it is some sort of rule game. One has to abide or follow that particular rules and regulations, otherwise we don't consider unhealthy competition or unfair competition.
Yes.
Because you cannot, you know, avoid the competition in the modern society or in the actual life of the modern people. Okay.
Yes. Achha, when natural people, when it says competition...
Coming to the open schooling system, look at, there is a competition. Let's talk about the competition within open schooling. There are actually different open schooling system. Okay, we have, you know, IGNO, we have, you know, National Institute of Open Schooling, we have, you know, Delhi University Open Learning, we have, you know, Annamalai University Open School. So...
when it's an open schooling system, it is within the I'm talking about NIO system.
NIO, sir.
When students are the same same stature, same classes, they be the same secondary level, they are competing with each other. Maybe our learners would like to know that when it comes to competition, people say that it is negative, but it has a certain definite role to play in the social system. Can you explain that?
Yeah, like cooperation, you know, cooperation and competition, one can say that if there is a coin, these are both actually two sides of the coin. Like cooperation, competition is quite indispensable or quite essential in our social lives. And even some sociologists, they say that competition is more basic process than cooperation. And there are different occasions, if we look at in our own life, that the competition itself starts the moment we enter into the school. It starts or it begins with the school admission process to different phase of our life. Competition, as we discussed a few minutes ago, competition is based on the principle of survival of the fittest in society. It provides motivation in order to obtain a particular reward, a particular success, a particular recognition. The individuals, if it sometimes it happens that individuals, they work, you know, personally, but they are not actually putting more efforts. When they compete with other individual, the, let's say, you know, NIUA system, when actually 50 or 60 students, you know, there is an exam and 50 and 60 students, they want to they are competing with each other to secure, you know, first position, second position, or the other position. So there you find that they put, you know, more work. That means they become more harder as compared to when they work individually. As a result, competition helps determine the status and the location of individual members in a system of hierarchy. Competition also determines skill, capacity and ability of every individual. Competition all the time we say that, you know, fair and healthy competition is very essential for the individual as well as for the society. Competition becomes responsible for the growth of individualism. Sometimes what happens, you know, in the market situation, that competition brings in a monopoly. Businessmen, they want to retain their monopoly in the market. They don't want competition from other players.
Yes. We have discussed about how competition plays a definite role in the social system. Like, suppose there are two to three companies competing for a particular product. Then naturally the society also gains from that. Sometimes the quality is very fine, and sometimes the cost is low. So it also caters to different target groups. So in that way, competition.
Competition, as you said, it is that the main idea of competition is to achieve a particular goal, or to achieve a particular objective, or based on the target. Okay.
Yes.
We all the time look, you know, towards the target. That is the main idea of the competition.
Yeah. Like we can say that as in IPL, so people always see that how many sixes are
exactly
there.
Exactly. How many boundaries.
As many sixes are there, people will also get entered out of that.
So from that point of view, competition has become the modern way of life. That is, modern society, it has already become the way of life. It has already become a norm of life, or you can say the dominant norm of human human society, dominant practice of human society.
Yeah.
We see that in competition that, let's say, there are more people available, there are more people who want jobs than the availability of jobs or the number of jobs in the market. Sometimes what happens that, you know, you see nowadays we use, there are different players, you know, for that recharge coupons, you know, cell phone recharge coupons.
Yes,
the telephone, actually cell phone companies, they compete with each other for more subscribers. Okay, the Vodafone, they subscribe, they actually, they go for more advertisement, etc. Like
yes,
that.
Okay. Now we have discussed a lot about competition. Then what? How the role? How competition plays a vital role in society, social lives. But conflict has also some positive role.
Absolutely.
And so we should discuss about how conflict. What is conflict?
Mm-hmm.
And how it has a important role in society.
Yeah. As I said in the beginning, if there is a clash of interest, that creates a situation called conflict. Okay, and like cooperation and competition, conflict widely exist in our society, and it is a fundamental form of opposition-oriented relationship, and it is a dissociative interaction. It is not an associative interaction. Among social processes, conflict indicates the maximum distance among individuals or the groups. Conflict is the reverse of the exact reverse of cooperation, and conflict does consist of a process where two or more individuals or groups try to prevent each other from attaining certain objectives or certain goals. Here, the actually in conflict, what happens that we see that on the one hand, it breaks certain relationship, and on the other hand, it strengthens unity in society. Sometimes it is seen in the case of divorce, there is a great deal of bitterness between husband and wife. On the other hand, in a family, you see that in day-to-day life, there is bitterness, opposition, even external disputes. Still the family, they keep bound together.
As you have already mentioned that the conflict, the bitterness between husband and wife leads to divorce also. But whether divorce has also some kind of positiveness and that binds family together for some other causes?
No, divorce, you know, plays some sort of very disintegrative role in the family. It is not actually, it doesn't play any integrative role in the family. But on the other hand, if you see that in day-to-day life of any family, that people, they fight with each other, they quarrel with each other, okay, and there is bitterness, you know, sometimes, you know, dispute within the family, sometimes, you know, disputes actually comes from the external, actually, means, you know, outside the family. Still, the family members, they unite with each other to face that bitterness, to face that opposition, even to face the external events. So, if you look from this point of view, conflict, the main concern in the conflict is to attain the goal or to achieve the goal by defeating the opponent. Okay.
Yes.
And conflict, we see, you know, like cooperation and competition, this is a social reality, and it is very much a part of the society.
Yes. As you have already mentioned, in cooperation there are two types of cooperation, and in so like that, conflict has also there are different types of conflict.
Mm-hmm.
So please discuss.
Well, conflict, if you look at the society, our Indian society, learners can find it is a multilingual society. Okay, it's a multicultural society. It is a multi, you know, religious society. There are many religions who exist in Indian society. So sometimes what happens that people actually fight with each other, or they go for actually when any fight or any tension arises within two religion or within, you know, two caste groups. So that is called intergroup conflict. That means when conflict takes place within two groups or two individuals, that is nothing but the intergroup conflict, and it is very commonly found in our society. Also, conflicts may take personal and impersonal form. When conflict takes place between individuals and due to some individual disagreement or individual interest, that is called as personal conflict. Let me explain a bit further. Actually, suppose Sukaran, you and me, we are actually talking about or we are discussing Hindu religion And we are actually, you say something and I don't agree with that particular view or particular opinion on Hindu religion. That means that is, there we find a disagreement happens between our views on Hindu religion.
Yeah.
This is something called that, you know, when two views differ, two views actually disagree with each other, it is nothing but that personal conflict. But when we look at the impersonal conflict, the impersonal conflict is, if my impersonal conflict takes place in the groups, for example, you know, families, you know, two nations, let's say, you know, two caste groups, two religious groups, and there we find that the feelings of the groups are more important. Okay, suppose if we say that Brahmin one caste and non-Brahmin another caste, or let's say Brahmin and the Dalit, okay, and learners, they can find, you know, the conflict between Brahmin and the upper caste and the Dalit in everyday newspaper, how they actually, there is a conflict every time taking place.
Even conflict also happens with the ideological label.
Ideological label, and conflict also takes place within the own group. Suppose conflict arises within one group, okay, so let's say in NIUS conflict actually happens, and this is called intra-group conflict, rather not inter-group conflict. But when NIUS and another institute, they actually discuss on, let's say, sociology course, or, you know, on this particular unit, competition, cooperation and conflict, and they don't come to a conclusion, they don't agree with a particular view, there we call inter-group conflict. But when the conflict takes place within this National Institute of Open Schooling, that is called intra-group conflict. And I hope every day you might face such kind of conflict with, yes, any school, any college, any organization.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there are a number of factors also which are responsible for conflict.
Yeah, yeah.
So can you describe in detail?
There are basically two factors which bring actually conflict. One is the internal factor, another is external factor. Internal factors can be called as endogenous factors, and external factors can be called as exogenous factors. What happens, internal factors, they don't automatically, or they don't actually, they sometimes they bring spontaneous conflict. For example, let's take one example within our own family, that in family we see that there are a number of generations, okay, the, you know, grandfather, grandmother, then parents, then, you know, younger generation, even the small kids. So we find number of generation, and every generation has its own values, has its own morals, has its, you know, own kind of, you know, belief system. Sometimes what happens, parents, they don't agree with grandparents, you know, ideas, grandparents, you know, values, grandparents, you know, belief. Similarly, younger generation or the small kids, they don't agree with their parents, you know, ideas, they don't agree with their value system, even the belief system. So, and I think, you know, everybody knows about or been quite aware of this concept called generation gap.
Yeah.
The values of the old and the values of the young, and it brings, you know, a very spontaneous conflict within any family. Even sometimes we see the conflict takes place between the illiterate and the literate.
Yes.
Okay, why? Because actually due to the understanding problem. Since illiterate, they don't have any proper idea, they don't have any proper learning, proper actually knowledge about any entity or about anything. So that is that, that the understanding creates, you know, the conflict between the illiterate and the literate. Similarly, if you see, if you look at the, you know, two location, urban location and the rural location.
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yes.
So when you were saying the generation gap, it also happens that technology has also played a very vital role in that.
Absolutely.
Suppose in many our learners might have the experience when you're looking at the television. Some kids, they want that we should see cartoons. Some people say that we should see the music.
Mm-hmm.
But another parents want to see the
classical example.
Parents,
yeah,
want to see the serial, family,
yeah,
serial,
yeah,
family,
yeah,
type serial.
Yeah.
So that kind of so sometimes it leads to conflict. That is,
yeah,
that,
yeah,
that is not of a very serious nature,
yeah,
but that also leads to conflict.
That happens when, yeah,
you know, so Diwali, sometimes it happens that all the kids want only to have the pataka and all that. But our elder members, they want that it should be in some kind of Puja should be there and all that. So, so this kind of values which creates the gap between, sometimes it leads to conflict.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
this kind of example, Sukant, you gave, that it happens when there is only one television set in a family, but in that family there are three or four generations, so grandparents, parents, and the younger generation, even the small kids.
Yes.
And every generation, they want to have their own channel. They want to have their own form of entertainment.
Yes.
There you find the spontaneous, you know, you may say the spontaneous disagreement happens between the groups.
Yes. So, now we should discuss about how
coming to the external, that external and exogenous factors, external or exogenous factors, this doesn't give automatically or this doesn't automatically rise to conflict. Okay, for example, if you see that last year there was in there was a leakage from an atomic plant in Japan, Fukushima, and we see that the leakage from the atomic plant of Japan that actually did influence to an extent the life and the society of India. Since in India we have atomic plants, so we became concerned about the safety of the atomic plants and also the life of the human beings who are living surrounded by that nuclear plant. Even our neighbor country Pakistan and Sri Lanka, that we see that Pakistan's ideology of religious fundamentalism and ethnic tension or the ethnic conflict in Sri Lanka are some external events which influence Indian society also.
So there is also relation there. We should also discuss about how conflict is direct and how conflict is indirect.
This is actually, when Sukhan, you said direct or indirect, this is a very fundamental type of conflict. Two opposing individuals or two opposing groups, they restrain or destroy one another in the effort to attain some goal, that is called direct conflict. The classical example of direct conflict is war, revolution. But when two opposing individuals or groups, they want to achieve a certain task, but they prevent others to achieve that particular task, that is called indirect conflict. And you see, now here you find the relationship between competition and conflict. The impersonal conflict is nothing but the competition. In competition, what happens that then generally competition arises or competition takes place when there is anything in short supply. Competition is impersonal conflict between individuals for attainment of certain goals which are limited in supply.
Leonard, you might have till now discussed about what is cooperation, what is conflict, and what is competition also. Yeah. So now it is the time to discuss about how the relationship between cooperation, competition, conflict is.
Okay. The three processes, as we said in the beginning, these three processes are very fundamental processes in our society. And these three social processes of cooperation, competition, and conflict are universal feature of all societies, including human and animal societies. So let's have a look at the relationship between cooperation, competition, and conflict. If I start from the cooperation, we see there are some examples of cooperation which happens in our day-to-day life. When we say the boss in any organization or in any office, the boss is a real father figure. It implies that a business is a family. Sometimes we know, we know who our friends to help us. It implies that there is a cooperation between certain groups or certain people, that whenever we fall into trouble or we fall into any crisis, they are there to help us. There is one more example that I can give you, that in business, sometimes business, a particular business, works like a sports team. When we say that everybody at work is a good team player, okay, it implies that there is a cooperation, there is a teamwork, there is a coordination, there is a division of workload. So somewhere we find that there is an interlinkage of cooperation with competition.
Yes.
And competition, from that point of view, competition may be compatible with immediate cooperation. How? That when we compete with each other, we not only compete with each other to defeat our opponent, rather we compete for our own efficiency.
Yes.
We compete for our own motivation. We compete for some kind of innovation. And by doing so, we do accomplish a certain task or a particular objective or a particular goal. On the other hand, we see that conflict takes a role of resolution. Okay, that means it all the time playing that a solving problem role.
Yes.
Conflict ends with a defeat of one individual or group. More often, it is found that there is a set of harmonious interest between the conflicting individuals or conflicting groups, which terminates the conflicts or transforms conflicts into cooperation. I can give you two interesting examples how conflict gradually transforms or gradually turns out to be cooperation. What happens if there are two competing companies? What they do, sometimes they change their attitude. Instead of competing with each other, they change their attitudes by pulling their resources. By pulling their resources, I mean pulling their human resources, means their employees, pulling their capital, means their money, pulling their office resources. They try to build up a larger business instead of a separate business, or instead of wasting their resources. Another interesting example which learners can find in political system, in the country's political system as well, that we see that two political parties, they compete with each other in any election, but in most of the times we see that they come together. Okay, they come together and they unite to secure greater share of the seats in the election so that they can defeat other parties. And if you look at the history, you find there are numerous examples.
Yes.
Where actually two competing parties, they actually come together, they become united against a third formidable or strong enemy.
Because we have the multi-party democracy, so it is natural that one party may come or may not come. So for the national interest, they come together.
Yeah.
Similarly, you have given a good case that when it comes to cooperation, suppose when you are in the trouble, we always see that someone is there who is there to cooperate to help us. Suppose it happens that when a child feels that he feels angry, he or she feels angry, automatically the mind of her mother comes to his face. So when he feels hungry, then automatically feels that no, mother is there, will ask me whether you take the food or not. Similarly, when we are in the examination, when we are in the school, at the same time we are also expecting that no, my friend is there, if I fall down, then he will cooperate me, or he will say that no, you just stand up. And in the second sentence, if he is not cooperating, then the second thing may come, he has not cooperated. He has not given me the help. Like that.
Yeah.
And when it comes to conflict, so it also happens, as you said, that it comes to resolution. Suppose now we are fighting all for corruption.
Yeah, yeah.
So now Lokpal Bill is in some form has come into existence. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. One thing I would like to add here, that when you say the cooperation starts itself from the childhood, okay, that even when the child grows or as the time progresses, we see that in any family, that the household task gets shared within family members, within children, within parents, okay. Even if you look at when a child bonds, in any family, that all the family members, they come together to share the responsibility to help the child to grow. Okay.
Yes.
So, we can put it in a simpler way, that bringing up the children is the mutual cooperation of all the family members. But parents, they play stronger role, but others also, whenever situation demands, situation arises, they actually come together and contribute whenever it requires.
Yes. And it also that society is a cooperation crossed by the conflict.
Yeah, yeah.
So can you explain it further to our students?
When we say that society is crossed by cooperation, That means actually society not only crossed by cooperation, society crossed by each three social processes. Means cooperation, competition and conflict. But what happens, you know, when we cross the cooperation, sometimes actually we come to a conclusion where actually you find the disagreements, you find actually differing views. That's why social scientists, particularly sociologists, they say that social processes cross by cooperation based on conflict. Okay, so actually so if any society to run longer or to progress, okay, in the actually in the coming days or in the coming future, cooperation must prevail.
Yes.
As compared to, if we compare cooperation, competition and conflict, we find that cooperation must prevail to endure or to sustain the society, for a better society, for a progress, for a progressive society. Why? Because cooperation, it tells that, cooperation, if see, there are number of examples, we can discuss here, that cooperation pays results.
Yes.
As compared to isolated action.
Yes.
In competition, what happens actually, we compete. When we compete, we don't look for others. We compete, to gain, to actually to have self-gain or, to gain ourselves rather than helping others.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I have explained Lokpal Bill. In the Lokpal Bill, maybe there are a conflict.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are some people who conflict against the government, that means
mm-hmm.
we should have some solid Lokpal Bill.
Mm-hmm.
And unless people have been united and unless they've been cooperated and mm-hmm. they in the protest or demonstration, because
mm-hmm.
demonstration is one type of conflict.
Let's say one type of conflict.
But people have also cooperated for which that campaign was successful.
Mm-hmm.
So here we can say that here's cooperation, competition, conflict, both has played a very vital role in establishing that Lokpal Bill.
Both played a vital role and both are interlinked, and if you see both actually.
Yes.
Okay, and these concepts, they are actually, you find, yet we see, or the learners, they might have noticed that the three social processes are different, cooperation, competition and conflict. Still, they coexist.
Yes.
They actually stay intact, or they stay interlinked, in the society, and it is very difficult to separate them.
Yes.
And what happens actually, in cooperation, if you look at the cooperation, the idea of cooperation, it is existing in our Indian society since time immemorial. That learners, they have been actually, by now, they might have some sort of idea regarding the caste system. If you look at the Indian caste system, cooperation is the underlying principle of the Indian caste system, where actually we find something called Jajmani system.
Yes.
Okay. And this Jajmani system is a kind of cooperation where actually different caste groups in a particular village or in a particular locality, they come together, work together, they contribute together, that brings the interdependence among several castes in a particular village. For example, let's say a Brahmin. What happens in Brahmins, they offer their priestly services to the agricultural caste or to other caste. When they provide priestly services to several castes, they receive agricultural products from the agricultural caste.
Yes.
They receive clothes from the weaver caste. They receive iron implements from the blacksmith. They receive different kind of services from different kind of groups or different kind of service providers. Similarly, non-Brahmin caste, by following this kind of principle, they actually exchange their goods and services.
Yeah.
In modern society, cooperation is not guided by customs, traditions and focus. Rather, it is guided by written contracts and laws.
Yeah, thank you. Now, our learners might have got a good experience of what is cooperation, conflict and competition. So, please summarize.
If we summarize that, in this lesson, we have discussed interaction and social processes. Okay. And dear learners, our effort in this lesson to help you to understand the social processes of cooperation, competition and conflict, and how the three social processes operate for individuals and groups in society. And we say that cooperation is the three processes are nothing but the form of interaction. The three processes, if you look at cooperation, competition and conflict, they interact with each other, and you know, they do sometimes work together, and working together they also, you know, face certain kind of conflict, and towards the end the conflict not only breaks the relationship but also strengthens the unity. So the three processes are very much interwoven in our society.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for sharing your experience and expertise with our learners. And I thank all of our learners to have a patient listening to our program on competition, conflict and cooperation. And we are looking forward to your comments and feedback so that we can make it very enjoyable and also learning. Okay, we can provide a very good learning space for you. Thank you, learners.